Very warm welcome to everyone. Thanks again for being here today. Very special morning for us, getting to worship together, getting together as God's people, and of course, looking forward to having Holy Communion this morning as well. Thank you again for being here. We're in week 2 of 4, talking about what it means to be made in the image of God. What does it look like for us to recover relationships, biblical understanding of relationships in a culture of confusion in which we live? And I believe the Lord has something very important for each of us today. Today we're focusing on something that all of us experience, but maybe we don't think about as deeply as we should. This morning, I want to talk with you on the theme of friendship. And to help us with that, it's going to be a few different texts from God's Word. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, Proverbs 18, 24, then John 15, verses 13 and 15. We'll see how agile you are with your Bible handling skills this morning. And as you're locating some of those texts, let's just ease into it together. You know, for some of us, when we think about friendship, some of us naturally think of joy and laughter, and we can look around this room and we can identify some of the friends that we have. We think of that one friend who's always been there for us no matter what, and that friend might even be in this room today. But when I also say the word friendship, stirs different things. Let's admit it together. That word can also bring up hurt and disappointment. You could think of a time that you have been betrayed. You could think of that feeling of loneliness that you haven't been able to shake and you brought into this room this morning. You could think of your friendships that faded over time as well. Some of us are in a season where we feel surrounded by people, but not deeply connected to anyone. You don't have to raise your hand. There's plenty of us here today. And for many, friendship just seems secondary. We assume it's something that's nice to have. We just don't really believe it's necessary. But God's word is going to say something different. The book of Proverbs is going to tell us friendship is not a luxury. Friendship is a necessity for a flourishing life. Because friends, we are shaped by the people who are around us, for better or for worse. And at the deepest level, we're created by God to need friendship. He created you with a built-in need for friendship. So friendship matters. Matters more than we think. And let me help you clue in to just how much it does matter. Think about the difference between the trivial friends and the real friends. The trivial and the real. Let's be honest. Friendship has never been easier, yet it's never been harder to find all at the same time. It's a bit of a weird moment we're in. We are more connected than ever before. You can have 1,000 friends on social media, but nobody to help you move that couch. Have you noticed this? Maybe without so much laughter, you can have hundreds of people post on your wall on Facebook, happy birthday, yet you can eat dinner all by yourself. We live in a world where we're surrounded by acquaintances but starving for real connection. You know what I mean. Now, there's a term for this. It's called the loneliness epidemic. And for any readers of The Atlantic in the house, they actually had almost a whole magazine on the subject. The anti-social century, literally talking about how for the first time ever, we are a community of people. We are a culture full of people, surrounded by people all around with very, very few close friendships. You know, in the year 1990, surveys showed that the average American had 3 close friends. Today, the most common answer is almost 0. 1 in 4 people say they don't have a single confidant in their life. 1 in 4. I want you to think about it. We live in a world where we can drop a direct message, we can text, we can snap, we can Zoom anyone in an instant, and yet people are saying, I don't have anyone I can talk to all at the same time. Friends, it's heartbreaking. We have so much access. You can Zoom around the world in seconds. We carry the internet in our pockets. We have entire networks built around friendship, yet all the data says we are lonelier than we've ever been before. So it's strange. We know more people, but we trust fewer people than ever. We see lives all the time, but we don't really know what's going on. And if we're honest, they don't really know us either. We live in a world where you can have 1,000 Instagram followers, but no one to call when the life falls apart, and deep down we know this isn't right. And that's because God designed us for real friendship. This is not a sociological problem. This is a spiritual problem that we're talking about today. From the very beginning, God is the one who said, "It is not good for man to be alone," Genesis 2:18. So the first thing that gets called not good in all the Bible is loneliness. And we're here talking about friendship today, and we're going to be talking about another expression of this next week when we consider the theme of singleness as well, before we're on to talk about marriage after that. So if you could think of it like this, friendship isn't just nice, friendship is necessary. And there ought to be a certain level of urgency that marks these next few moments of listening and discerning as we get to sit together today. My dear friends, we don't just want good friends, we need good friends. And I want to show you how God shows us in his wisdom some aspects of friendship. He inspires us up to friendship. He helps us appreciate why friendship is so difficult. For some of us, there's a wall that goes up in our heart and in our spirit, even as we begin talking about these things right now. We would do well to remember that Jesus himself was betrayed by one of his closest friends, and in his moment of great need, all of his friends abandoned him. So if you have a broken heart because of brokenness that you have experienced from other people, people who claim to be your friend, let me invite you to draw near to God and his word, and allow him to speak to us and address us now. We have three scriptures we're going to read. Can we please honor the reading of God's word by standing for the reading of scripture, please? Beginning in Proverbs chapter 17, you see it right here. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Our next reading is from chapter 18. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And now from the mouth of Jesus himself in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the word of the Lord. And thank you. Please be seated. So let's take it up. Three questions. First, we'll begin with, why is friendship good? Second, why is friendship hard? And thirdly, where can we find true friendship? But let's begin there. Why is friendship good? Why does God say it's so important? Why did God say loneliness is not good and design us for friendship? Why is friendship good? Let's get right into it. You know, the world that we live in, it treats this like a hobby. Oh, well, that'd be great if you could get around to it. You know, as soon as you finish everything you got to do for work, and as soon as you finish up looking after your life, and I mean, you got to go to the gym. Like, after you get to the long list of all the other things that are important, it'd be great to get onto friendship if you could ever get to it. But the Bible's going to say something different. You can hear it already. Friendship isn't a bonus. Friendship is a necessity. Or if you want, if you're making an amazing chocolate fudge sundae, right? I'm a big fan of those, as you can start to tell. No, if you're making one of these things, you'd be wrong to think of friendship as kind of the cherry on top of life. You need to think of it as an essential ingredient that needs to be woven all the way through. I'm calling it the chocolate fudge sauce that holds the whole thing together. See, friendship is not just about good times. Friendship is about survival. And the book of Proverbs is going to help us diagnose the problem and prescribe some wisdom for true friendship. Proverbs is God's wisdom manual for all of life and relationships. Anyone could take up this book and read it and get and discern how did God make the world. You could read this without even a relationship with God, and you could start to live your life within the grain of the universe, and you wouldn't catch as many splinters. This is given to us to help us understand how God made the world. And some of us, we struggle in friendship because we're waiting for people to be good friends to us. When what Proverbs would help us see, we need to get busy being the kinds of friends we wish we had and to see what God would do around us. So we read Proverbs not just to find good friends, but to be a good friend. Let me show you a few aspects. Why is it good? Well, first, Proverbs is going to teach us. We start with Genesis 2:18. Friendship is good because we were created for it. Dear friend, God says in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. Think about it. Of everything that God made, everything that is good, the first thing that he called not good is human loneliness. Before sin entered the world, isolation was already becoming a problem. That means you and I were hardwired for relationships. You were made for this, and you can't escape it. God made us to be known and loved. God made us to be able to walk with people through the highs and lows of life. You were literally built for this. That's why loneliness feels so wrong. Last month, Joe Fitzpatrick and I, we got to go out to San Francisco to kind of lay the groundwork for our youth choir mission tour, which is kicking off in just a couple of months' time. And when I say lay the groundwork, I mean, Joe did all the work, and I just followed him along and talked his ear off the whole time, right? I mean, we had a great time going around and hanging out. We got to do something really cool together. We got to go out to Alcatraz, and we were going around Alcatraz. We got to see this amazing state park that's now a prison. And in all the places, in all the prison, there's one place that's worst of all, and it's solitary confinement. It's the place that's designed to break a person by sealing them off from all other relationships. Even in a world full of crime and punishment, the worst thing you can do is take away someone's relationships. When we isolate people, it breaks them. Why? Because we're made for relationships. Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. It wasn't just about marriage. It's about community, connection, and friendship. You and I were made to walk through life with others. Have you ever tried doing something by yourself that you're not supposed to be able to do by yourself? Right, like move the refrigerator down the stairs, right? You might as well just toss it. You know, that's where it's going the whole time. Ever tried carrying a couch or a dresser up some stairs when you weren't made to carry it by yourself? You weren't made to live life on your own either. There's a reason things just go tumbling around and crashing through the walls when we're trying to carry it all on our own. You weren't made for it, friend. You were made for friends. So let's not act like it's optional. Let's not act like it's the privilege of the extroverts. Proverbs 18:24 warns us, one who has unreliable friends may soon come to ruin. That means if you and I don't invest in friendships, it could be our ruin. So friendships, living a life without them, it is not simply inconvenient. It is dangerous to do so. Friendship is also good because it shapes who we become. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Here's the deal. Show me your five closest friends, and I can tell you about the trajectory of your life. You ever notice how we've come to take on the characteristics of our friends? The way they inflect words, the way that they say words at all, you know? I mean, there's some of us, we've never even said some words in our life, but you kind of get that new friend. Give it a matter of weeks or months, and you too will be walking around saying the most obscene things, like, we never talk like this. No, but our friends, they rub off on us. Kind of take on their habits, take on their sense of humor, however happy or however dark, amen? No, we go around our world talking like our friends. We act like them. We start to resemble them. Start to answer the phone in the same way. We start to hang up from the phone in the same way. We take on our friendships. You don't just make friends. Your friends make you. And that's why they're good. That's why they also have the potential for great harm as well. They shape our character. our friends, they shape our decisions, our habits, and they ultimately shape our future. Here's just an application question for all of us in light of that. When it comes to the friends, who are they making us more like? More like Jesus or more like someone else who we shouldn't be conformed to the image of? Well, finally, friendship is good because it helps us through life's hardest moments. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Life is hard. We are going to face suffering and loss and trials. And when those days come, we need people to stay with us. Sometimes you have to go off to war to find a buddy. And that's when the real crucible of life gets turned up on us. That's when we start to realize who our real friends actually are. There's a reason why the worst pain in life is loneliness in suffering. Because when we have grief, when we are struggling, when the weight of life feels too heavy for us, there is nothing worse than feeling like no one sees us. No one knows. But a true friend, they show up. And as we'll see in just a minute, a true friend will always let you in and a true friend will never let you down. This is why friendship is good. Let me just ask some questions. Do you have friends like this? Are you a friend like this? Would there be people, if there were some sorts of heavenly referencing service available and they could call some people right now, like, would there be referencing for you being this to other people? This isn't just a luxury. What this is right here, this is a lifeline to have a life of flourishing. But we live in a world where friendships are fickle. And they depend on all sorts of things. They depend on status. They depend on influence. They depend on zip codes and postcodes and money. But if no one truly knows you, no matter how much of the other stuff we have, when we actually need a friend, we realize we are the ones who are ultimately bankrupt. This is why Proverbs 18:24 says, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's pointing to something deeper, a true and a better friend, Jesus himself. We'll get there, but if we're going to get there, we first must face the reason why. Why is this so hard? That sounds so great. I mean, whose life wouldn't be overflowing if you had five of these begging you to come to their place tonight, to bring your food, bring your Trader Joe's snacks, you know, eat theirs, sit around in a couch, watch some Super Bowl. Our hearts just kind of ache up for that. Oh, I wish I had a list of people I was having to turn down. So why don't we? Or if you want, why is friendship so hard? Why is this lacking? Why when we hear that, we even struggle to believe that all of it's true? Dear friends, we've seen friendship is a good gift. It shapes us, it strengthens us, it sustains us. And if that's true, then why is it so hard? Shouldn't that be easy? Shouldn't that be available? Shouldn't that be accessible? Why do we struggle with this? Why do we feel so lonely in a world that is more connected than ever? Why? Let me try to show you a few more aspects of reality from the book of Proverbs. First, friendship is hard because we are broken. We are. This is hard to come by because I am a broken man. And this is hard to come by because all of us around this room in different ways, we have brokenness. From the smallest boy or girl among us to the most grown man or woman in the space, we all have brokenness. And that's part of the reason why this is hard. Many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy person? There's a lament from Proverbs. So let's be real. We're not always great at this. I'm talking to you today about something that I have some experience in, but I can't claim perfection in. I have some people you could call up for referencing and be like, oh man, they're for me here, and I experienced him like this in this moment. But there's others where I've just missed. I've blown it. I made a mess of some relationships. I doubt I'm alone in this room today as well. You know, the reason for that is that we're not others-focused. We become self-centered. We are inconsistent. We flake out. We avoid the hard and necessary conversations that make for friendship. Have you? I mean, that friend that says, let's grab lunch, and you have never heard from them again. You ever been the friend to say that as well, by the way? Say we're going to do something and never follow up? Friendship takes effort, but the world in which we live is incredibly low commitment. Different bits of this will mean different things to us here in this room. People swipe left, people unsubscribe, and people opt out the second that something gets difficult. We have a lot of shallow connections, and we have very few deep connections. So instead of putting all the focus out there, maybe we can just focus right here. We can control what we can control. Are you the kind of person who always follows through? Are you the kind of person that's consistent? Are you the kind of person who doesn't flake out and check out? Or are you a good friend? Who is reliable? Who keeps their word? Well, no, it's obvious. We're all broken. We all have issues here. And if Jesus wanted to teach on some of this with us, he might even say, look, that person without sin throw the first rock in this situation. No, it's all of us together. But can we be honest? What we are talking about, this requires character. It requires consistency, and this requires commitment as well. And part of that is because friendship is hard because we fear vulnerability. We're afraid of this stuff. We want it desperately. Our souls ache for it. We just wish we could have one. We're a bit scared. Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of the enemy. We all want deep friendships until they require us to be known. We all want this until it requires vulnerability. We all want this until it requires that we have to expose ourselves. We have to be willing to call someone out, and we have to have somebody close enough with enough access where they can call us out as well. It's like working out, which clearly some of us in this room have a lot more experience with than others. Everyone loves the idea of being in shape, but no one wants to feel the burn. Everybody loves the idea of being chiseled up for summertime, right? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what your values are, I guess. But I thought we'd get some hearty amens in here, but that's fine. That's fine. We can preach on that another day, I guess. But haven't you noticed, without resistance, there's no growth. And without somebody very close to you, demanding more of you, expecting more of you, saying that's out of bounds, saying that's weak, saying we're not going to talk like that in here. Well, I guess there's no growth either. I guess things would get out of shape, as it were. So look, this is hard. Are you willing to have the hard conversations necessary to be a friend? I mean, let's not go pointing at everybody else. Let's just, who am I? What kind of person am I? Are you willing to be corrected? Are you that person that people would say, no, your defenses always go up? We kind of stopped trying 17 years ago. Are you that person who was there? Are you that person who stormed out and disappeared? And this brings us into the great reality that makes us keenly aware of our need of Jesus. See, friends, friendship is hard because life is hard. It's Proverbs 25, verse 19, trusting in a treacherous man in a time of trouble is like a tooth or a foot that slips. Let me explain. Some of us have been so burned by friendships before. We have been so epically failed in life's hardest moments. We thought that person would be there, and the storm came, and that person stormed out and disappeared with it. Have you ever tried to eat with a bad tooth? Every bite hurts, right? This last week, great privilege, was up in Wheaton, Illinois, participating in a spiritual life week at Wheaton Academy. And one night, at dinner with a friend of mine named Camden. We knew each other in Raleigh. We lived together in London. His family, dear friends of ours, and we're in a restaurant on Wednesday night, and I cannot resist the good bread and butter. And I'm talking, I'm lathering one up. And I go in there, and it was a piece that had the really crunchy bread, and I guess I just bit it the wrong way. I don't know if I can attribute this to being 39 and almost 40, but I'm trying everything I can. Go for it, and I chip a tooth, right? Gone. Bit of it, gone. And I crunched on it, and I worried everything was falling apart in that moment. Right there, I was like, wow, my whole life is falling apart as this tooth falls apart. And you ever been there in a conversation, you don't want to draw a ton of attention, and you're doing all that management, you're like, you know, like when you're deep into it with somebody, yeah? Everything's fine, I'm falling apart, but you keep going. I'm here for you. What? Yeah? And I'm in that moment, and of the many things that are just weird about me, you know what I've learned about myself in this tooth over the last few days? I struggle to trust it. And friendships can be a lot like that too. You lose a part of yourself because of one. And it's just hard to go back there. It's hard to bite down with that same level of confidence. That's both funny and it's not. Because we all know what it's like to be in that moment where that scare, I mean, it makes us hesitant. And we become incredibly vulnerable. Like, funny, like with that piece of bread, it's like, I trusted you, you know? And with that person, we're thinking, I trusted you. And some of us were carrying wounds with friendships that have failed. And some of us, because of this, we have stopped trying. But can I encourage you today? Could you come to Jesus and could you rekindle your friendship with Jesus and let Jesus teach you what it means to be a good friend to other people? And as that life-giving friendship of Jesus flows to him who is infinite back into our little finite selves once again, maybe that can heal up the broken parts of us. It can repair bits of us that are damaged. Here we can find him restoring us, him creating a good friend in us as we experience a good friend in him. And maybe we're able to go out there to try and to trust again and to be friends again. Can we go there? Well, you don't know what I lost. Well, you don't know how I was exposed. Well, you don't know how so-and-so left me and my children abandoned. I don't know, but Jesus knows. And Jesus can speak a better word to you. Friendship is hard because we are broken. Some of us even have broken teeth and broken hearts. Friendship is hard because we fear vulnerability, and friendship is hard because life is hard. But we don't give up on friendships because these things are true, and we don't settle for shallow relationships. No, we got to be a people that's willing to fight and to contend and do things that are going to be countercultural to keep putting ourselves out there so we can find friendship with God and one another again. So where do we find true friendship? Where do we find people who will never fail us? Where do we turn? Where do we find true friendships? The Bible says a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We have seen that friendship is a good gift. It shapes us, it strengthens us, it sustains us. We've also seen that friendship is hard because we are broken, because we fear vulnerability, because life itself is difficult, because we have some broken parts of us and we are struggling to bite down on life once again. Where do we find true friendship? Where do we turn? Here's what I want to say to you. We all fail at this. We flake. We let people down. We say the wrong things in the wrong moment, and we disappear when life gets busy. Jesus is the friend who will never fail you. He is true. He is consistent. He is full where everybody else around you has brokenness and emptiness. He knows the right word to say, and his words are always apt and fitting, and he knows how to say the right thing at the right time. People may let you down. I will most certainly let you down. The people sitting around you will let you down. Jesus will never let you down. So think about it. Jesus is the friend who never leaves. It's John chapter 15 again. I no longer call you servants, but friends, verse 15 says. And then he goes on to say something radical. He doesn't just want to rule over you. He wants to walk beside you. It's not a power play. He's not trying to rule your life. He's not trying to be over you in a sense as much as he wants to walk with you. Though the kingship and the lordship metaphor is equally real. He wants to stand by you. He wants to know you and to be known by you. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, everyone abandoned me, but the Lord Jesus came and stood by me and he strengthened me. You remember it was between Judas and Jesus. Judas was called a friend by Jesus even when he was betraying him. Yet Jesus still gave his life for all who abandoned him. We find true friendship in Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You need a friend who will never leave you. You need a friend who will always show up to you. You need a friend who will always say the truth to you without ever withdrawing their love from you. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. The city all around us needs Jesus. Jesus isn't just a savior. He offers friendship as well. He's the one who always listens. He's the one who always speaks the truth. And he is the one that can stand with you in the fire and the storm as well. And more than that, we find friendships in community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one. For if either of them falls, one can help the other one up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Jesus designed this, his church, to be a place of friendship and relationship. We are meant to be a family, a brotherhood, and a sisterhood, coming together, calling one another brother, calling one another sister, with God over our top as the same Father. It was C.S. Lewis who once said, friendship is born, and when one person says to the other person, what, you too? You're into this as well? And how do you find friends? You find friends by always gathering at the foot of the cross and constantly returning to the foot of the cross, where there you're able to look to your right and your left and say, what? You need this too? You're going to leave them where you find them. And that's a very flexible piece of advice that could be applied to all different spheres of life and reality. It really shows up in your friendships as well. Where are you finding them? Where are you looking for them? Where are you fishing for them? Instead of making this about all the other ways that all of us have let you down or everybody's let me down, whatever that could be, can we just bring the attention rightfully back to ourselves? Consider, are you investing in deep, gospel-centered friendships? Are you personally committed to real relationships in the body of Christ? See, friendship in the church, this isn't meant to be just a bonus. This is the very means of survival. By God's grace. So as a result, we must be the kind of friend that we want to find. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Everyone wants a good friend, but very few are willing to be that friend. If you want friendship, then we need to be willing to embrace what's necessary for friendship. So just imagine if Jesus treated friendship the way we do. And you're going to be able to see him in all of his glory. Pay attention. If he only showed up when it was convenient. Just imagine if Jesus bailed on us when life got hard. Imagine if Jesus only stuck around when it was going to be a benefit to him. No. Don't you see? He is always present. He is so close. He is consistent. And he wants to be in it with you. He desires to be your friend. So it's time for us to stop complaining about the lack of friendships around us and to return to Jesus, to be friends with God, to allow him to teach us what it means to be a friend. And as he restores friendship in us, then and only then can we have restored links of friendship with those around us. Let me begin to summarize. Friendship is a gift, but friendship is hard. But the Bible also teaches friendship is possible. Not because people are perfect, but because Jesus is perfect. Not because we'll never get hurt, but because Jesus is our healer. And not because we are strong, but because it's Jesus who gives us our strength. He is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is the one who laid down his life for ours. And where do we find the friendship? We find the friendship in him. We find the friendship at the foot of the cross. And we find friendship in biblical community. So all around this room, who do you need to reach out to this week? Who do you need to phone up and to release a debt or a burden? Who do you need to call up and forgive? Whose call do you need to return and say, I'm sorry as well? If that feels like too much, then just remember Jesus. Jesus always lets you in and he never lets you down. Servants don't really know the hearts of their masters. They just follow around with obedience. And Jesus asks for something more. Jesus wants the kind of relationships to where the people who follow him, they know his joys, they know his thoughts, they know his pain, they walk together. The Hebrew word for friendship is the word for secret, sod, S-O-A-D. What it means a friend is someone that you're going to let into the secret places of your heart. It's why, incidentally, you can't have many true friends. In fact, if you were to add up everything the Proverbs say about friends, it would probably be good for us in this room, for each of us to aim. You know what? I need probably 1 to 3 of these. That's probably what I have God-given capacity to manage. Maybe like the elite among us are going to have 3 to 5 of these, but no one's walking around with 20 to 50, okay? It takes a lot to do this and to do this well. And maybe there's even some relief in hearing that. But Jesus is inviting his followers into the secret places of his heart, and it teaches us something about being a friend as well. We have to be willing to let other people into the secret places of our own heart as well. Well, that means there's not going to be space for everybody. Everybody's not going to fit in there. We might find some friends to get us through this season and another friend to get us through that season. You might enter a battle and find yourself keeping up with a few more people than you kept up with before, because that's God's ordained grace for us in that season of life. But Jesus was so committed for his friends that he was willing to literally go to hell and back for them. And he laid down his life for them. So, as we approach this table to enjoy this meal, allow me to ask you this last question. Are you friends with God? I'm not going to let you get away from this one so easy, because you may be very religious. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you friends with God? Because this is what it really means to be a Christian, to become friends with Jesus. He is not just looking out for servants who are scared of him and willing to keep up with a whole host of rules and regulations because they fear him. True Christianity is not about obeying the rules essentially. It's about entering into a relationship with Jesus. And it's the one realization that will change everything else in your life. What a friend is what we just sang. This will change the way you feel comfort in times of trouble, because every burden I bear now makes its way off of my shoulders onto his shoulders. Having Jesus as a friend, it'll change the way you pray. You will start praying often and naturally. There's no sense of duty in here. This is all delight. I am friends with the God who made all of this. What do I have? Here's more stuff, Jesus. Help me with this, won't you? You share life with him. And it'll change the way you see your sin as well. When you see God only as a harsh judge who will hold you to account, you'll always be trying to see what you can get away with, where the margin is, where the boundary, and how far you can run from him while still be counting as him. But a friend, you start not wanting to hurt him at all. A friend starts to think, I just don't want to break his heart. I think of Judas, who walks up to Jesus and calls him a friend and then betrayed him. I wonder what it must have been like to be Jesus in that moment. An enemy, fine, but a friend? And if you feel like you have been betrayed and no one else will ever understand, I guarantee you, Jesus has more understanding in him than you could ever imagine. You see, friends, being scared of God's judgment may change behavior just slightly, but embracing friendship with Jesus will change your heart. And it will create in you everything necessary to be a real friend and a true friend as well. Because he has laid down his life for us. He gave us a meal to remember it. Then he goes to a cross. He, with all of his friends abandoning him, he gives his life for the welfare of people that he's pursuing to be his friend. He's buried in the ground. After 3 days, he victoriously rises from the dead to prove that he is God. You and I, we can be changed and transformed into his image and likeness, and we can live that kind of a life in our world as well.